Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, Creepies. Thanks for joining us for episode number 68. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Nothing too much. We're still middle-aged and creeped out?
We are still middle-aged and creeped out.
I thought
that's right.
That's right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're definitely middle-aged, and still, I think we're creeped out, right?
I'm after today.
I got creeped out, yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Ditto.
Ditto. Well, good. Yeah, we're glad the Creepies are joining us. Episode number 68 coming at them. That's pretty exciting. Creeping up to the 70s.
You love to throw that in there,
don't you? I do. That's my thing.
All have things that we like to do, and that's yours.
Just let me have something, okay? Right. That's all I got anymore.
Throw me
all right?
A freaking bone.
Throw me a freaking bone. Yeah, so here we go. We've got another episode for our Creepies. You guys having a good week so far?
Yeah, it's been weird. My birthday was Monday, it was wild. It was hot.
I wish you another happy birthday.
Right. I made another year. Yeah. 43. You're like, are you 39 now? And I was like, actually, it's 111. And then you're like, really?
Well, I always get
43,
I can't remember, 42 or 43. Yeah. So I knew it was one of the two.
I'll go backwards. That's fine. 42 sounds good.
Yeah. But it has been good.
Yeah. It's weird, wild, crazy, full moon.
So it's
hot.
Consistent. Yeah. It's full moon
it's
last
basic,
night.
Yeah.
By
it's
way.
My life. No. Yeah. No. It's good.
So
it's good, though.
So nothing different. Okay.
Exactly
Nate,
right.
Nate, how's your week?
True story.
Okay, other than battling the heat, sweating at work.
It's been hot here.
Well, you know, heat index of the hundreds, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
Okay, I never know. Yeah, how's that working in the...
As a welder, oof.
Yeah, I mean, I work in that. Whoa, there goes the whole table.
That's Jude is here tonight.
Oh, is that Jude?
That was Jude. Earthquake Jude.
So we have podcast pup number two. Mm-hmm. Jude and Sam are running.
Jenna and the kids are in Holiday World with Jenna's mom.
Oh,
and they're in the heat index. Trust me, I already told them.
Yeah,
I'm like,
at least it's a water park.
Right, exactly.
I don't feel sorry for them.
They're having fun.
But anyway, so your week has been all right, other than, like I said, the hot. And
yeah, I mean, it looks like I've jumped in a pool, but I haven't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of sweat in there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of sweat.
You still have the red rosy cheeks, right?
That's why you need to build a pool, Nate, so...
Nah, then I have to take care of it. Mm. I don't want to take care
Nate
of it.
Would, you know, he would actually build it too if he.
What you do is get a pool. See, we've been talking about it. We said in about 5 years, get a pool and we could put the logo, the Middle Age Creeped Out logo at the bottom, and it'd be the podcast pool, you know, or the mill, or so we'd have to come up with it. Yeah, that'd be cool though.
I like the fact that we've been talking about this.
Yeah,
we've been. This goes along with the tank and the jet and the
maybe
tower,
we could
the
do
tower
a live
and the dungeon.
Yeah. We have our we have our dreams, don't we?
Quite the imagination, right?
Remember that BMW I sent you on
the Corvette?
That's
my. Oh, yes. You said this is going to be our Mako.
Our Mako, vehicle, sedan. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It'd be our version of the Batmobile.
That
the
was
Mako
cool.
Mobile.
That was cool. Yeah. That'd be a good styling.
I salivated a little bit.
Yeah. It was nice. Okay, so let's wake up and do this episode.
Yeah.
Creepy's like, hey, over here, focus. So before we get into more of our stuff here that you usually listen to, we have a promo to play. We had Kristen Amanda. She was a previous guest on our show a couple of weeks ago, and she sent us an official promo, and we're going to play that for you. So here it is.
Have you encountered something you can't explain? Do you believe in the paranormal but haven't experienced it? Are you a skeptical believer too? My name is Kristen and I host the Paranorm Girl podcast. My show is an education in the paranormal. Join me as we explore a different topic each season and dissect origins, theories, experts, and so much more. Whether it's life after death, cryptids, ghosts, or any other paranormal topic, we will pull it apart and put it back together again to fully understand it. If you're a fascinated skeptic, a believer yearning to know more, if you're looking for an education in the paranormal, I'm your paranorm girl.
So there you go. Kristen Amanda's The Paranorm Girl Pod promo.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
She is.
She is. And go listen to her podcast. It is awesome, as Sean said.
I have been listening, and I love it. I do.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I'm not caught up yet, because I was actually taking the first season and then working my way up to the second season. But I will admit that I have been listening to the last three most recent episodes. So, yeah, she was on our... Oh, I see Jude knocking. He's knocking over the lamp.
He's taking over.
She has played our promo because she knows that her episode is dropping tonight. Mm-hmm. What is tonight? The 15th?
15th, right?
Yeah.
Your mom's birthday.
I know. Happy birthday, by the way, to my mom, Carol Hedges.
Right.
My biggest fan.
Happy birthday, Carol.
Yeah. So, yeah, go check the Paranormal Girl Pod out.
Belated.
Belated, yeah.
It will be belated
when this drops.
Right, that's
very belated. It'll be about 2 weeks old. No, or just a week.
A week,
just
yeah.
A week, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, with that said, Sean, you want to do the first group of announcements?
I do. The first thing I want to make sure, you know, this is the most important thing that we do here, is focus on mental health. And so we always want to give out the numbers for that. And the first one is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, and that's 1-800-662-4357. And we also want to give out the Suicide Veterans and Bullying Hotline. That's 1-800-273-8255 or text 838-255. There's also a bullying website, stopbullying.gov. And sorry about that little interruption there. It was Jude trying to goose me in the chair.
Jude is creating havoc.
He wants attention. He's an attention dog.
Nate,
what's
going on over there?
What is Nate doing?
Focusing on my mental health.
Oh, he is. I wish we had a live cam.
I know. It's not doing it justice just talking about on the podcast.
He was creeping us out.
Sean and I were like, what's wrong with Nate? I don't know.
What do we do? He doesn't know what to do with his hands until now.
Yeah, doesn't know what to do with his head.
All right.
Just focusing.
Focus. Always a focus. That's why Mr. Miyagi was. Keep eye here. Focus. All right. Well, thank you, sir, for that. And now we are going to play another promo. And, of course, it's the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indianapolis.
Woo woo.
It's coming up. So here it goes.
Tracy, we are so excited for our upcoming live event in Indianapolis with Tragedy of Cinema and Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing all of you.
I'm Todd.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Sean. And we are Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
We are looking forward to sharing some creepy stories with all of our hometown listeners.
I'm Jimbo with the Tragedy of Cinema.
And I'm Kyle, also with Tragedy of Cinema.
Indy is also our hometown, and we have the perfect horror movie to break down for you guys.
Come out and see us on Saturday, July 16th at the VFW on South Lockburn and help veterans at the same time.
All three shows are clean, so this is a family-friendly event. Tickets are just $20. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
So there you go. The Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indianapolis, and it is coming up very soon. So get your tickets. Go, tell them, Sean.
Go get you some.
Go get
you know I want to say that.
I know. I
waiting all night long.
The game. He's like, okay. Now he thinks he can quit and just go home.
I'm out.
You cannot.
I get my bonus and go?
Yeah, you can get your bonus on it. I got five and another five. Okay, so now it's time for Todd's dad stat of the show.
Ooh.
The dad stat. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you sitting down?
I am ready.
Listeners, are you sitting down? More than 10 people a year are killed by a vending machine. That's right.
I believe that.
Is it because they get stuck?
I can't believe it.
They get stuck in there.
Get stuck. And then they rock it, and then it tips too far, and they don't realize how heavy it is.
You know how many vending machines I have had to do that for our kids? It seems like they're, you know. But I've never rocked it so hard where it's going to fall on me, you know? I mean, I get to
move. If you're a weak, feeble little teenager,
yeah,
it could happen.
Or like, what'd you say, Sean? Somebody getting their arm stuck in
there, and then they just turn into a corpse over time. You know, yeah. Like, but nobody comes to save them.
You think somebody would come by, but at least stop.
This is what I get for using a vending machine in the desert.
10 people a year killed, or no, what to say? Does it?
By a vending machine. 10
killed.
Killed.
Yeah, yeah, not like hurt or
injured. Fatality,
killed,
right?
A fatality. Yeah, like, woo, lights are out. They're done. Yeah.
Well, if there's a
they
short.
They punch their ticket. Hmm?
And what if there's a short and like.
Oh, got shocked, you mean?
Ooh, never thought of that.
I guess. I just saw that stat.
So
I
you're saying, have you watched Final Destination?
Oh, yeah. Right.
I watched the very first one, and I was mortified, and I haven't watched the other 20 since. So, no. The first one did me in. Yeah, I was not expecting. Yeah.
So, out of all the ways to die, you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance that you get killed by a vending machine. Jeez. So there you go.
I'm sure there's a chance you get killed by a porcupine. Sort of odd, but
oh,
sure
you went porcupine. I thought you were going hedgehog, but okay, went porcupine.
Well, rabbit hedgehog. Yeah,
yeah, they're vicious. that time of the year.
And where is this episode going?
Vigorous.
There you go. Vigorous. Oh, that word. That's a game changer. It's not just your.
Let's veer back on the road.
But it's quit vigorous. Being vigorous.
Let's veer back on the road.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. That was my dad's stat of the show. And
thank
now.
You.
You're welcome. Okay. So now we have Amanda Narr, who I work with, okay, at my day job. She submitted a personal story. So I'm going to read it.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda. I call her Audrey at work. She was afraid I'd call her Audrey, but...
It, you did.
Sorry, Nate. Did I kick your knee? Here we go. Are we ready? All right. The Haunted Woods. When my sister... Oh, and by the way, I told the guys I have not read this ahead of time, so I'm going to learn what happened along with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
True story?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, her personal story. Yeah, true story. I mean, I guess she could be lying. I don't know, but...
Oh,
you know,
man, I know we were going to go there that quick.
Yes.
All right, here we go. The Haunted Woods by Amanda Narr. When my sister and I were little, maybe 7 and 8, our mom would take a particular back road from Monrovia to Plainfield, as we would, and this is in Indiana, by the way, as we would ride along this winding wooded road, mom would slow down, telling us we were entering the Haunted Woods. She would tell us the tale of the woods, the ghosts that resided there, and that if you stayed too long, the ghosts would shut off your car and take you into the woods to strand you. As we creep along the road, Mom would pretend the minivan was stalling, pump the brakes a little, and stop the van. My sister and I would scream and insist Mom move the van. She'd let it move and stop it again, teasing us. We'd scream more, but knew it was all in good fun. One afternoon, we were traveling to Plainfield and requested going through the Haunted Woods. Mom took us that way and played the usual games, telling us the story. Naturally, we played along. I was sitting in the front seat, and the first time Mom stopped the van, I knew it was her. As we crept forward and she stopped the van again, the engine quit. My sister and I screamed, per usual, but our mom's face had gone white. I realized she had not intentionally turned off the van because she had not touched the keys. We all sat in silence for a moment, not knowing what to expect. Mom fumbled to get the engine going again, and we left. We never asked to go that way again.
That is creepy.
That would be creepy. So there you go, the Haunted Woods.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Thank
That'd be
you
something
for
my
that.
Dad would do. He would do that type stuff, and then we'd be like, oh, no, you're not doing it on purpose? Oh, great.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks, Amanda, for sending us that email.
Oh, I thought you were going to call Audrey.
No. I promised
Audrey. I'll find Amanda.
Yeah. I'll call her Audrey when I go back to work.
Right. Exactly.
No, we appreciate that. That is a creepy story. Yeah. And I know her sister very well because she worked at the church, too, mm-hmm. and her husband, Josh. Josh is the... I think you did a hangout with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Josh.
The beard, yeah.
Yeah.
St. Louis Cardinals fan. Other than that, he's a great guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog fan, so that
evens
kind of redeeming
quality.
So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, wonderful family. So, yeah, that was cool. So
awesome.
Sean.
Yes?
What are we going to talk about?
Well.
For episode number 68.
We just had a guest chat with the wild and amazingly fun Sophia Temporelli. So enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies. We have a special guest for this episode. She is a paranormal investigator, and she is the host of her own paranormal radio show called The Ghost Host. It is on liveparanormal.com. And this is the cool thing. She has been doing all of this since an early age. She has been investigating since 8 years old, and she has had her radio show since she's 12, and she's only 23 years old now. Let's welcome to the show Sophia Temporelli. Sophia, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on today. How have you been?
Oh, we're great. I'll let Sean and Nate say hello to you.
Hi, Sophia.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
So we have been so excited, and we finally got you on. I know we were talking a little bit before we started recording. Your dad and I have been emailing back and forth for about 6 or 7 months, and he's been awesome. So shout out to your dad, John. So yeah, we're excited to have you. If you want to start, can you tell our listeners, a little bit about yourself, how you started, in the investigating and you know, the podcast radio job. I don't know what to call it. Yeah, not job.
Profession.
Right? Yeah, and just and you know, where you're from and how did you get into all of this creepy stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So as you guys mentioned, my name is Sophia Cambrelli. I am 23 years old from California. And yeah, I've been a paranormal investigator since I was 8 years old and a radio broadcaster since I was 12. Yeah, I just have always had kind of a fascination for, you know, the unknown and like, I don't know, just like the Halloween type stuff. Scooby-Doo was always my favorite growing up. Sleepy Hollow was one of my favorite movies as a toddler, which is weird to me today. So, you know, I'm sure that was weird for the adults. And I just always was drawn to that. And when I was about 8 years old, my parents went on a tour, a ghost tour on the RMS Queen Mary, hosted by a psychic named Peter James. And for some reason, I just got really jealous. I'm like, why can't I go? Why am I not going? And so my parents are like, okay. So they messaged Peter and said, is it safe for Sophia to go on an investigation? And he said, yes, there's over 500 ghosts on this ship. All of them are my friends. Bring her along and I'll have her call out to the ghost girl in the pool area, Jackie. So I went on that investigation. I just fell in love with the field. About a year later, we realized our house was haunted. And yeah, after living in a haunted house, I just had so many experiences. I mean, it really changed you as a person. I mean, they do scar you when you live with the paranormal every day and there's no escape. And so I was like, you know, I can't be the only one my age going through this. So I started my radio show mainly to try and connect with other kids in the paranormal. I didn't find any, but, you know, 11 years later, I've been able to hear and just learn from so many amazing investigators, people from all over the field of the paranormal, psychics, cryptozoologists, people from the Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, just so many different facets, UFOologists. So it's just an amazing learning experience. I've met so many great friends through the show too.
That is cool. And growing up in a haunted house, I would imagine that would change you. And it's like you said, especially when it's an everyday occurrence, just that's kind of how it is, you know, on a daily basis. And yeah, that's, I was going to ask you how you started, you know, with your radio show. So you answered that. That's awesome. Yeah. To connect with others.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. I was so young. The ghost in my house, we don't know who it was. My dad had grown up in the house. He moved out when he was 9 years old, due to my grandfather's mental illness. My dad's adopted, but his adoptive father was mentally ill. So he had to move out. After my grandfather died, my parents moved back in the house. My grandfather was not the spirit that was haunting us. And so, you know, I grew up in that house. My dad did a little bit. And it just, like, there was no reason for my parents to think it was haunted. There was no reason for me to think it was haunted. Looking back, after knowing it's haunted, you can see little signs beforehand that were kind of like, oh, I can kind of see that wasn't normal looking back. But the ghost was a male that was basically stalking me every day.
Oh, wow.
He would watch me sleep. I couldn't watch videos on my dad's computer on YouTube. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't go sit in the kitchen. I couldn't go sit in my bedroom. I mean, it was constantly being watched. And I mean, that really leaves an impression on you when you're such a young child and you feel so scared in the one place you're supposed to feel the safest, your own home.
How long did that happen? Like, how long did you guys live there then? How long did that happen?
So in total, we lived there probably, well, I lived there from the day I got brought home from the hospital. So about 11 years. My parents had lived there longer, my dad even longer with his combined time through childhood. But we didn't notice the haunting until I was about 9 years old, and we moved out when I was 11. So it was about a 3-year time span.
Wow.
Man, that's hard. I mean, wow. 'Cause when somebody's getting abused, you know, physically, it's like, oh, gosh, we got to take him. And sometimes that can get hidden. But think about, like, spiritual haunting. That's a different kind of, like, mm-hmm. abuse from the other side. And it's like, what do you do with that? I have an 8-year-old daughter, Ella, and I think about when you're sitting there talking, it's just amazing to me, you know, the experiences you had at such a young age and how much that would impact you. And obviously it's still, you know, it's what helps to keep you going and keep you curious. But I think that's fascinating. My daughter Ella has talked about some of the things that we do, and she asks, can I come, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, oh, no, you're a little young for that, but maybe she's not.
Well, I think, you know, the tricky thing with that is, I think this goes for people of all ages. It's just really, you know, because there's teenagers that are clearly old enough to go do a bunch of things, but that doesn't mean they should be investigating.
Right.
It's always just like about a respect level and everything. You know, a lot of people say kids shouldn't be in the paranormal, which I completely understand and get because there are some really dark stuff. But at the same time, when you have 8-year-olds living in haunted houses, I mean, it's like you're already living it.
That's a whole different ballgame, right?
Or children, just based on the fact, you know, it's your imagination, or you're too young to talk about stuff like that. Really, for kids not to be able to have that open dialogue with their parents is going to lead them to go do things they shouldn't as teenagers. And so it's just better to, you know, I'm not a parent myself, but I think just as a child going through it, just be able to talk to your kid about it and use your own discretion and see, you know, what you think is best for the kid, or, you know, what all that is. I think it's just kind of a case-to-case basis, but I think definitely kids shouldn't be just, you know, shunned from the field like they have been in the past.
Sure. Yeah.
I was going to ask too, if you do have kids, or when you have kids, will that affect how you would approach it with your children? I imagine so, right?
I don't know. I grew up around adults, so I have like little cousins, and I think I would just base it more off of them, because I wasn't really around kids when I was a kid. But I have a little cousin. She's older now. I mean, she's about 7. But when she was maybe 3 years old, she wanted me to play with dolls, and that petrified me because I don't know what to do with kids. Like, I wasn't raised around them when I was a kid. Like,
right.
So that was scarier to me than a lot of investigating. Like, yes, there's adults. I'm like, no. So like, let's look around my room. You want to see the art that's on my room? Let's look at that. I have the skateboard on my wall, and it's like a haunted house, but it's like a mini golf thing. I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's a haunted house on it and ghosts. And I said, and this is a haunted house with ghosts on it, because that's what I do. And she lives in a different state, so I don't see her that much. And she looked at me and she said, do you talk to good ghosts or do you talk to bad ghosts? And I was really taken aback by that, because I wasn't sure, you know, even as a 3-year-old, how she knew about that. Her parents aren't involved in the field or anything. And I said, well, you know, not every ghost is bad. I lived with a ghost and it wasn't a good experience, but if you ever encounter one, it doesn't mean it should be something you're scared of. There are bad ghosts out there, but if you ever experience one, it does not mean it's going to be a bad experience for you. And I said, if you ever do encounter one, you know, you can always talk to me about it. And I was just really surprised, just her being so young, just that type of response from her.
Sure. Yeah. So you said she's 7 now. Does she show any more interest in ghosts?
No, honestly, she's really freaked out by like a lot of things. She really loves me. I was on Ghost Adventures and my mom had put it on so my cousin could watch it, her father. And she didn't like the noises or the sound effects or anything. She's very freaked out by that stuff, but she sat through the entire segment of me on Ghost Adventures because she just wanted to see me. So it's not like she has like an overwhelming interest. I think she's seen Scooby-Doo a couple times, but in general, she seems to be more skittish towards stuff like that. Like, I don't even think she likes, from what I've heard, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because all the loud noises and stuff like that. So that stuff in general kind of freaks her out.
Gotcha.
Now, I have a question. Yeah. The ghost that you lived with as a child, was it ever malicious or was it just stalking?
I think just based on the fact that it was a grown man stalking a child, you could just in general say it was malicious. Yeah. Anyone who came in as a psychic, I'm not psychic. I would say I'm a sensitive, but you could just tell this was a bad spirit. I mean, he was very intimidating. He was only focused on women. So my dad could have lived there for 50 years and never known it was haunted. But any woman that was in that house could tell that they were very uncomfortable walking in there.
Hmm.
Did it affect your mother then too?
Yeah, it did. She largely thought it was kind of something that she was creating, you know, just her imagination after hearing me talk about it. Mm-hmm. But when we had psychics over one night, they were going through the house. So to back it up a little bit, some things, like I was saying earlier in the show, looking back, there were little things that were like, oh, okay. So all of my mom's female friends, like if we went away on a trip and one of her female friends watched our house, they apparently would feel very uncomfortable in our home. And that was before we knew it was haunted. And of course, someone's going to tell you that, hey, your house really freaks me out. So we didn't know that until afterwards. And one night I was actually sleeping on my loft bed. I had a couch bed in my room and I would sleep on that because I was a little kid and I thought it was fun. And my mom had to change his sheet. So I went up on my loft bed and I would see him standing in my doorway looking for me. And I thought, I'm finally free up here. Like he can't see me. I'm safe. And one night I was going to sleep and he had climbed my loft bed ladder and was about a foot away from me, watching me.
Oh,
and I don't know how I fell asleep that night, but I did. And it gets a little fuzzy, the timeline, but shortly after that, we had psychics come over and I was like, Mom, I really have to tell you something. And she said, not right now, sweetie, we have guests over. So I pulled her friend who's not in the paranormal and I told her what happened. And my mom's friend pulled my mom aside, told her what had happened. And at that moment, no one besides me, my mom's friend, and my mom know that the ghost had been that close to me. And the psychic walks by my bedroom and goes, and there's a man on that loft bed ladder. And that was the last night my parents had me sleeping in my room because he had just gotten too close to me.
Wow.
And just hearing stuff like that about me being watched, my mom thought it was kind of maybe putting her like a little bit on edge. So she felt like she was being watched next to her bed, that he was standing over her watching her. But she never said a word to anyone about it because she truly thought she was just kind of freaking herself out. And the different psychic, because there was two that night, walks by and said, he stands here and pointed right next to where my mom sleeps.
Ooh, wow.
That's wild.
And that would be the third time he did that because my cousin, a different cousin, but a female cousin, she was sleeping in my room and I was sleeping next to her. Apparently I don't remember it because I didn't see it, but she had seen like as if a person was actually in our home, a man standing over us, watching us. And she apparently grabbed me really tight because she was freaked out and I was asleep. So I didn't know what happened. But she fully saw in like a, as real as you could get, man standing over us. And by the time she blinked, he was gone.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. Crazy and scary.
Yeah, that would definitely mold you as a young kid.
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask.
I wanted to have a hard time. I'd have a hard time with that as a 51-year-old man. You know, if it, man.
I wanted to ask something. I know it's a little bit personal, so you can answer this however you want to, but you hear about like energy vampires or energy, you know, ghosts that can suck your energy or like take advantage of you. Did you ever feel like that from this kind of entity, or was it just like, I know Nate kind of asked that, but about, was it just stalking you or did you feel like it was trying to do something weird with your energy or as a kid that may be.
And real quick to bounce off of what Sean just asked, did you or your mom or any other female that would come over
feel violated?
Was it physically? I mean, did he physically attack you? Right. You know, kick, hit, strangle, try. You know, that'd be another ball game.
Yes. So we didn't really have any experiences like that. Honestly, as soon as I started seeing the ghost, I tried to be alone as little as possible. I would freak out if I like fall asleep in the living room at night and my parents were like in a different room or something, I would immediately start panicking and just run to find them. So I was really did try to be alone as little as possible. So I can't really say, I don't think so. But I mean, he had gotten a foot away from my head and my parents were worried about, you know, him scratching me or hurting me. And so that's when they immediately said, no, you're not sleeping in there anymore. And actually, my pets could sense the ghost. So we had a pug, And she would stand in the hallway and violently bark into my parents' bedroom where the ghost would be. Mm. And I had diamond doves in my room. And anytime he would step in my doorway, the doves would bounce off the cages, super freaked out and frightened. I do know, I can't really speak on the stories of my mom's friends other than that they felt very creeped out and unnerved. But I do know before we realized the house was haunted, one night on New Year's Eve, I was at my aunt's house. And my grandfather had died, a different grandfather. And my grandma had gone out for the first time and she danced with a guy at my mom's encouragement, you know, to get out there so she wasn't lonely. And a piece of metal had flown off of the shelf 6 feet away and hit my mom square in the back. And my dad saw it fly off of the shelf and hit her in the back. We didn't know our house was haunted at the time, so my mom thought it was her dad just like, right. Why did you go encourage her to go meet another man?
Right.
And that's what my mom thought for many years. She just thought it was her dad. Like, are you serious? Really? And after we realized the house was haunted, we're like, that definitely wasn't grandpa. That was something else. So my mom did have something thrown at her.
Man, that's, yeah.
Yeah, if I woke up with a figure of a man over top of me, I'm waking up swinging.
Right.
That just
kicking, swinging, yeah.
Yeah, that just freaks me out.
I know.
Sophia, I'm thinking of it from a father's standpoint. You know, I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. I know Todd has a 14-year-old girl. And just as a father, that unleashes the, you know, paternal instinct to protect. And so, I mean, when you can physically get, you know, somebody's taking advantage of your daughter or after them or a threat, you know, you're like, hey, I know what to do. But man, that would, your dad must have felt so helpless, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you said, call in the psychics, really, call in the priests or whatever.
Yeah, when you're dealing with a physical person,
My mom is definitely, she's more of like the pit bull parent. Like she is.
Mama bear.
She is. Like, she's definitely the one that, like I would cling to because I knew that, you know, even though she's a female, like the ghost is, I feel safest around her.
That's cool.
My dad didn't believe me at first. I mean, the guy who wrote the book for the psychic, you would think would be the number one on board. He said that it was my imagination because he wrote a book for a psychic. Huh. And so he didn't believe me. And for the longest time, he said that the dog was the one that discovered the ghost. That's not true. So,
good pug. Good pug.
I told you. He had a large fondness for the dog. He loves the dog.
That's great.
So he would say stuff like that, and when I first started feeling very uncomfortable, I would try and go sleep in my parents' bedroom, and he told me to leave, so I would sneak in there at night and sleep on the couch that was in their bedroom because I was super freaked out. But when it got to the point where my mom's like, yeah, no, this isn't happening, that's, I think, really what changed it, because he wasn't experiencing anything. So me saying it to him, he just didn't know what to think. He didn't believe me. My mom didn't know what to think when I first told her, but she's never been one to tell me I'm wrong. Like, right. She would never do that. If I told her I saw Bigfoot, she would never tell me I'm wrong. She probably wouldn't know what to think, but she would never, never say that I didn't see it.
So you saw Bigfoot?
Well, my dad comes home every day from work, so.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, he just didn't know what to think. And my dad, he's an 80s drummer, so, you know, he has the long hair. And one night my mom had said, you know, you go sleep on Sophia's loft bed. And so from behind to a ghost, I'm sure he kind of does look like a girl. So he went to sleep on my loft bed and he felt someone watching him. And I say that he looks like a girl from behind just because of the fact this ghost would only present itself to women. So if he had short hair, there's no way that ghost probably would have gone near him.
Now that's funny.
And he went up on the loft bed and my dad felt someone watching him. So he threw his arm over the side of the loft bed and started yelling at the ghost. And he said he felt like he stuck his hand in a bucket of ice water.
Oh,
at the same time, I'm in my parents' bedroom. My mom's holding me and she feels something come up through the bed and her whole body from her neck down starts buzzing. And now this is relevant because every time the ghost would be in my doorway or something, my mom could walk through it. And when she did that, she said it felt like the sensation of your arm falling asleep. So she knew at that moment when my dad is yelling at this ghost that had come up through the bed while she's holding me.
Hmm.
Guys, I'm telling you, I am so creeped out.
I know, yeah.
Just knowing that, yeah, you're so young.
He freaks a lot of people out. He's not even around anymore. Gosh. Well, I mean, he might be out of his house. I mean, it was super focused on women to the point where I think a lot of guys wouldn't know what to think or feel going in there, just because it really did not show itself to men. I mean, it would. There's, you know, my dad's an 80s drummer. That's pretty loud. One night you heard a loud boom on the side of our house, and there was nothing to cause that. And we knew it was a ghost. But besides like a couple occurrences like that, there was nothing that didn't revolve around women.
Man.
Hmm.
Did you think it ever followed you anywhere outside of the house, or did it just mainly stay in the residence?
No, he stayed in the house. I only saw him one time outside of the house.
Oh.
And that was actually the night that the psychics came over. So the psychic who came to my house, his name is Radio Rod, and he was filming kind of investigation of our house. And one of the audio techs was his friend, and he was a skeptic of the paranormal. And we were all outside talking. No one was in the house, no one at all. And the audio tech walks in to go check the live feed, and every single one of his plugs in the power strip had been unplugged, and he was so freaked out after that night, he stopped talking to Radio Rod, who brought him.
Oh, that's wild.
That night, when we were all out front, I saw the ghost in like a shadow figure form this time, but leaning against the bricks in the front of my house, just kind of smugly staring at us.
Mm. Hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, if you had that thing chasing after you, I mean, it's bad enough in your house, but, you know, if you can't escape it, so, you know, at least maybe it didn't follow you to school or any other places. Yeah. That's crazy.
The memories did, so that's bad enough, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, sure. Gosh, that's crazy, yeah.
So when you guys moved out of this house, did you light it on fire?
And, yeah.
Take care of it.
And bulldoze at the same time.
Get rid of the chindy.
No.
Yeah.
It would have been great too, but no, we didn't. People live there currently. I don't know who, but yeah, I don't know if they have experiences, nothing. And honestly, I don't want to know. I do not want to step foot in that house ever again, because I was so young. But since it was so focused on me and women in general, I would be really disturbed to go back, knowing that I'm an adult male. And sure. Not knowing if it would follow me this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't take the chance either. Yeah. I mean, that's a story that you were terrorized. I mean, that's plain and simple. You were, you know, I mean, it just was horrific for you, especially as a young kid. I just can't imagine. Like I said, as an adult man, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was definitely a lot. Man. So I'm happy I don't live there anymore.
I bet. Yeah.
Do you feel like that those experiences that brought out the sensitivity in you? I know you said you were sensitive, or do you think you were sensitive before and that's why you picked up on this? Because I think that's kind of a chicken or the egg, thing.
I think it was maybe a little bit of both, mm-hmm. because I said earlier in the show, there were experiences looking back that really made us realize, yeah, there was signs of a haunting before we realized it was a haunting. Mm-hmm. When I was probably about one or two, I don't really know. I couldn't speak at the time, but I could walk and stand on my own. I would stand with my back against the door into our garage, frozen, and my mom would physically have to, she could call me and I wouldn't move. She would have to physically come and touch my hand to get me to move. And I would do that a lot. I don't remember it, but like my grandma does, my dad does, my mom does. And I used to have really bad nightmares. So I think that probably even from a time I can't remember, I was having experiences with that ghost in our house. And so I think that I was probably sensitive even before then. But I think just around that point in my life when I was 9, it probably became more apparent.
Hmm. Kind of a confirmation. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. spinning off of that, so you've been an investigator since 8 years old. Do you I have like three or four questions, so I'm going to
take them one at a time.
Yeah, I'm like already all over my place, all over the place in my head. So, so like you said, with your radio show, that kind of you wanted to see other, you know, talk to other people out there with that had experiences, and kind of that's the way you've dealt with it. But as far as like investigations, that hasn't. I'm going to try to say your childhood has not scared you away, obviously. So you've gotten into this paranormal investigative field. Do you find that's a way to deal with it as well, just like your radio show? And has it been mainly a positive experience? You know what I mean? Like, because you don't know what you're going to run into, I guess, at these different locations. So how do you deal with it? Like if you do run into something that's, you know, not so positive, you know, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah, so, I mean, I just still have a fascination with creepy stuff. I can't help it. I mean, started at a young age. Maybe it was subconscious from seeing the ghost. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the scars from living in that house are going to be with me the rest of my life. So there's probably been significant damage done. So I feel like, you know... Yes, other stuff could happen, but I feel like I'm pretty okay. So, you know, just going into situations, like there's a ghost on the Queen Mary in the pool area I do not like. When there's a ghost, he doesn't like me either. When there's a ghost like that, honestly, I just try and leave it alone because I feel like if you don't like me, I don't like you. If you, we were real people, we don't want to talk to each other. Right. Let's just keep it that way.
Stay away.
You're not going to have lunch together.
I can talk to.
Yeah.
There's other ghosts I can communicate with.
I'm sorry. What was that, Sophia?
I'm just saying, you know, there's like other ghosts I can communicate with.
Gotcha.
If you don't like me and I don't like you, then that's fine. I will just go to a different room because... You know, I don't feel like there's a point in prodding the dead, whether they were me in life or not. I just like getting a response from something that's dark and, you know, doesn't want to deal with you isn't worth it.
Right. Right. What is it about this particular entity that you get the feeling that he doesn't like you, and how come you don't like him? You know, I mean, like, what is the relationship? Mm-hmm. What's happened, I guess, you know? And I know, and from you've been to the Queen Mary numerous times, right? You've been there a few times? That's
yeah, I have.
Okay.
I live pretty close to the Queen Mary.
Okay.
So in reference to like how I'm a sensitive, I like to say I'm kind of like those Geico commercials where there's like a dental monitor or like a smoke detector. Like I can tell you something's there, but I'm not that helpful beyond that. So when I see ghosts, I've been super fortunate and I'm always seeing shadow people because that's not creepy at all. Besides the ghost in my house. Who I saw more normally, they're pretty much just shadow people, and I can't tell you their name or anything, but I can kind of tell you if it's like a good or bad ghost, and I can kind of tell if there is a spirit there. So with the ghost in the Queen Mary, he's very lurky, and you can just tell he doesn't want you there. You know how there's just certain instincts, like you can tell if someone's standing behind you, or you can feel like, oh, I'm kind of not wanted in this room. It's kind of the same way as that. If you were dealing with a real person with animosity, and so you can just tell that. And I've seen him for years, just kind of standing in the doorway. I call him the shadow man. Lots of people call him other things because, you know, other investigators have interacted with him. And when I filmed on the Queen Mary with Ghost Adventures, I felt, so the Queen Mary, if you go in the pool area, no one's been there. There's always low lighting. It's never completely dark in there. And when I investigated with Ghost Adventures, it was the first time I had seen the pool area with the lights completely off. And I don't really know how to explain it in like a way that makes sense because it doesn't make sense to me. But he was in multiple areas at once.
Oh, really?
And I wanted to tell the Ghost Adventures crew, like, that I could feel him there in multiple areas, but every time I wanted to talk about him, I felt, like, choked up, like I was going to cry. And I don't know why that was happening, but it was like he was emotionally affecting me. And in one area, so if you're facing towards the pool area on the top upper right-hand balcony, I felt him standing there, leaning over the balcony, watching us. And Zach was up there at one point, and he actually got rushed by a ghost in the same area where I could feel the shadow man. And just after that night, I feel extremely unwanted in the pool area. And the time after that, the first time I went back after that, I felt like something bad was going to happen if we stayed there. And yeah, he's just a very intense, overpowering spirit that, you know, I've never experienced anything like him in my life, a ghost to be in multiple places at once.
Yeah, I have to say I've never heard that before. We haven't talked to a lot of people, but I don't think I've heard that maybe an entity could be, you know, multiple places at the same time. That's a whole new spin.
Yeah, it was like the darkness made him stronger.
Yeah. Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. Or he's in a gang. Maybe. Right. You go that way and I'll go this way.
There's another reason to stay away.
Yeah.
The opposite of a superpower.
That is wild. Yeah. What else about the Queen Mary? Because I know that's a big destination for investigators and tourists. What is it about the place? Because like I said, you've been there a few times. What do you like about it? Other than just paranormal investigating, what is it that draws you to that particular place?
Well, I mean, first off, it is extremely close to my house. And since I know it so well, it's a great place to take friends or like out of town family because it's such a unique location. You can't see anywhere else. You know, the Art Deco artwork, just all the, they have bird's eye maple, which is wood that you absolutely can't use anymore. But it's already on the ship. So, I mean, there's so many, like I was in high school and, you know, like I said, we're very close to the Queen Mary. For the Art Deco subject in art class, we took a field trip to the Queen Mary just to look at that. And it's just one of those things that, you know, besides the ghost, it's really not something you see every day, from the artwork to the history, or, you know, just being a massive luxury liner, similar to Titanic. You know, there's no ships from that era. And I think that's just one of the reasons that, you know, people always go back. It's just a great place to go with family and friends to see something unique.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. Sean put that on the list.
I got it. Yeah,
you know, Sophia, we always make.
I carve it into the table.
Yeah, we. I think our list has grown to like 817 places or destinations that we need to go to. No, that's cool. No, I was just wondering. Yeah, that because, like I said, I mean, it's a very popular place that you hear a lot about. And I just,
we need to cover it.
I know we do. So, yeah, since you go there a lot, I was just like, what is it that draws you? And that's a perfect way to answer it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to take people. I'm not one of those people that, like, wants to go to movie theaters or anything. So I think it's a better place to go hang out with friends because most people kind of like walking around and, you know, trying to ghost hunt and stuff. When I was on the field trip with my class for art class, they had it was a scavenger hunt. And so, of course, everyone's trying to grab me because I know a lot about the ship. But it was stuff I didn't know, like something about the horn or the bell or something, like when that was put in. It was just, it was like little super detailed stuff that there's no way I would know. And so we were trying to look around, but then I basically gave an impromptu ghost tour. So the girls that wanted to win the scavenger hunt, like, basically were more than happy, like, going ghost hunting on the field trip. So it's just one of those things, you know, a lot of people want to experience the paranormal or, you know, see, you know, not just like a haunted house. Like, you know, you live in a house every day, houses can be haunted, but it's not something out of the ordinary. Whereas, like, you know, going to an asylum or a penitentiary or, you know, a giant ship that's docked in Long Beach, it's just one of those things that you just want to experience.
Yeah, and it's different. Yeah, like I said, it's just, yeah, you don't get to see a lot of ships, period. And then if they're haunted, that adds another element. So yeah, that I'd love to go there sometime. Don't they have, they've got like hotel rooms, right? It's turned into basically a hotel.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a hotel. Currently it's closed. It was closed for COVID, and then basically, the city of Long Beach didn't take great care of the Queen Mary. And the last people that, so it leases them out to management companies. And the last one they did, it was a weird thing. They were doing stock trade in like Korea or Japan or something, and that was illegal. So they went bankrupt, and all the money that the city gave them to put into the ship, they really didn't use any of it.
Oh, gosh.
So the ship has just been falling more and more into disrepair, and they were trying to figure out what to do with it. They were looking at sinking it, turning it into a reef, trying to sail it to a port in London to have it fixed up. The people who don't know about the Queen Mary, when it was docked in Long Beach, they removed the engines, they removed the support beams to the pool area. So it is not in any condition to sail anywhere. Not if it was tugged somewhere, not if it had its engines put back in. Like, it would probably sink pretty close to where it is now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So it's something you kind of have to fix where it is. And it's closed right now for renovations. They're still trying to figure out what the permanent plan is, but they have, a 50-year maintenance plan put in place. So they're putting in new build systems. The lifeboats are apparently all made out of steel, and they weigh 1 ton each. So they took a ton of the lifeboats off because they had all the original ones. And they kept, 10 to put on the ship. Mm. And then they were going to sell the rest of them, but no one wanted to buy them because they weigh 1 ton. So they were scrapping them all because they needed to take a lot of tonnage off the ship to, like, kind of let it rest.
Right.
I think they took like 22 tons or more off of the ship just by removing the lifeboats.
Man, that's a lot of weight. Yeah. Other than the Queen Mary, like, what other locations have you been to that you enjoy to check out, investigate?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to, you know, some great places. I went to the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California. I had some really strange experiences there. I've investigated a college by me, Law Prisma Mission. I did Tombstone a little bit. That was a strange event. So that's a whole different story. I recently investigated a ghost town last year, which was a lot of fun. That was really different. So that was a great experience. And yeah, just like places like that. Sorry, I blink when people ask me that.
I do too.
Yeah. I'm just like, where have I been? But the Glen Tavern Inn is definitely, I think, one of the more unique locations I've investigated besides the ghost town.
I've heard of that, but I don't know much about that. What's the story with that?
The Glen Tavern Inn is it's like an inn hotel in Santa Paula, California, and it's just a really interesting location because the whole town is small, and it's very, I would say, kind of like early 1900s, like, looking, and it's just in the middle of, like, this small town, so it's totally out of place there. And, I mean, the Glen Tavern Inn has, like, such, you know, like, a tragic history with floods that have wiped out the town, fires, like, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. And so it's extremely haunted, and it's just, like, a really unique location, like the Queen Mary, where it's just kind of out of place in the city it's in.
Hmm. I think it sounds like those are the best places where they're not just the typical places. They're kind of
off the beaten path.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Kind of cool.
Yeah. We went to a cemetery near the Glen Tavern Inn too called Nordoff Cemetery. And I will say that the experiences there actually messed up our car to the point we had to take it to an auto shop.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. We were investigating and nothing was really happening. And I was starving. I was like 14. Nothing was happening. I wanted to leave. I wanted to go to McDonald's. I was hungry, you know, hungry teenager. We don't have patience. And so we were sitting in the car, my mom and I, and we were with another investigator, and my dad was there, and they really wanted to investigate more. And I was starving. So I was anxiously sitting in the car listening to music. And my dad and the other investigator were by this tombstone of a Native American chief. And we're sitting in a car, and the locks start going up, like, rapidly, like, just so fast. And my dad thought I was being an angsty teenager and pressing on the brakes, which I didn't even know made the lights flicker and the locks go up. Like, I don't even know why he would think I would do that at 14. And I thought because he was squatting down that he was, like, pressing the unlock and lock on the key without knowing. And so everyone saw it happening, but both people thought it was a different person doing it. And we realized, you know, it wasn't me. I was not pumping the brakes. It wasn't my dad. It was not the keys. And my mom even tried to recreate how fast blocks were going up and down by pressing on the car keys, and she couldn't do it. Mm. And when we got home, our car's computer was extremely messed up, and we had to take it to an auto shop and have it recalibrated after that.
That's a little interesting, yeah. That would suck. I have to get your car fixed.
Thanks, Ghost.
Yeah, so that's different. That's, I think, unusual to have your car break down after an investigation.
Yeah, no doubt. It's kind of like the Ouija board. No, you're doing it. No, I'm not. You're doing it. No, you're... And everybody's blaming each other.
Yeah,
and you realize,
like,
nope, we're not.
I was like, seriously, I'm hungry. I want food. He's leaning on the keys now. I was like, really? And he's like, wow, she wants to leave that bad. She's messing with the car. It's like, I just wanted food. And the ghost, I think, wanted us to leave too. They were like, yeah, hello, get in the car. Go away from my
food. Go away.
go get your food. Don't come back.
They're like, go get the food.
That's crazy. What other places, like, so what places would you like to visit to do an investigation? What's on your bucket list, I guess?
I would say probably my top one at the moment is Alcatraz. My parents got to spend the night there, and I am still jealous. I mean, the Boy Scouts get to spend the night. I feel like, you know, I should have been able to.
Right.
And I really want to go there. How will I know Call of Duty's Mob of the Dead looks right? I won't, because I haven't seen it in person. So that is just, that's gamer hurt right there. Mm. And I would love to go, you know, I mean, there's so many great places over the seas that I would love to go, you know, like the Roosevelt Hotel. I just think there's a lot of great places here, but mainly just like Alcatraz and kind of like a lot of the old Hollywood places. I used to want to go to the Island of the Dolls. I don't know why I forgot its name. The Island of the Dolls in Mexico.
Yeah.
I saw it on Destination Truth, and I was like, that place looks amazing. I'm going to go there. And then I saw it on Ghost Adventures and saw how many spiders there were, and I said,
oh, yeah.
Never mind.
No. You know, I think I'm okay.
Not doing the spider thing?
I hate spiders.
Oh, gosh.
Do not do spiders. Ghosts? Sure. Spiders? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a, was it a mini?
Yeah, it was a mini.
Yeah, we did a mini episode on
Your
the Island
was
of the Dolls.
Elijah was with
Was that
us.
The one? Yeah, uh-huh. So my little 11-year-old son was on that. And yeah, that's a place we'd like to check out too.
He said he would go, and your daughter would not.
No, my daughter. Oh, you know what? Sophia, my 14-year-old daughter, she's a scaredy cat. She loves, she can watch scary movies, but and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if I offer to take her to an investigation or a someplace, she's out. And so the Island of the Dolls, she's like, nope. And now knowing that there's a lot of spiders, she is terrified. I mean, she, little spiders, daddy long legs, she acts like it's like, you know, some tarantula. I'm like, it's just a, I know.
Yeah. I think you know how my dad feels now. Every spider I see, I'm like, you have to kill it. It's trying to kill
me.
Yeah,
that's
what
I thought.
Like, you're being dramatic. I said, am I though? Like, am I being dramatic? Am I? I don't know what the intentions are. I don't think you know what that spider wants. I do. It wants to kill me. But I'm the opposite of your daughter. I actually don't watch scary movies. I'm too scared of them. I love horror video games and ghost hunting, but horror movies are
not
just a no for me.
Wow, that's interesting.
Huh. And Olivia likes herself a good serial killer, right?
Yeah.
That's what's funny.
Yeah, my daughter, she'll say, hey, Dad, do you know? And then she'll mention some fact about a serial killer. I'm like, yeah, I did that. Or I'll say, oh, actually, I didn't. And yeah, she's very knowledgeable about serial killers. So I don't know if I should
be concerned.
Concerned, or I'm a very proud dad. Yeah, anyway.
Maybe both.
Yeah. So
she'll know what to look for and stay away.
Right. So, like, talking about all these different places around the world, I mean, around the U.S. and then, of course, you know, overseas and stuff. And I know, obviously, you've got a lot of places in California. It's such a large state. They've got a lot of history, a lot of places to check out. What about heading east, like, you know, like Salem, Massachusetts, somewhere like that? You know, have you thought about...
He wants to say Waverly.
Waverly Hills, you know. Sophia, we went on an investigation at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, and it was awesome. It was so fun. Yeah, it was more than what we even thought, and we were excited before we went. So, like, what about like places out east, you know?
Definitely. I mean, there's so many places out east I would love to go. I haven't been to like a penitentiary or like an insane asylum or anything. I would love to go to like Waverly Hills or Pennhurst.
Oh,
I just
yeah,
think Pennhurst. I love locations that look out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. I love the locations that you're not going to walk past every day and see. So I think those are the most fascinating. I mean, their architecture is really amazing. How, you know, some of those places were made to look like castles. I really want to go to places like that. Just like the places that you look at and go, I don't see that every day.
Right.
And so there's so many places on the East Coast like that, that I think are amazing. Mainly just kind of like those hospitals and asylums. I think there's so much history there, so much tragedy, but I think, mm-hmm. you know, they're just amazing just at face value too. I mean, the way that they were built.
Yeah. Yeah. Waverly definitely has that aspect. When we got there, we were like, wow, you know, it's not your everyday structure, and it's got the history, and it does look like some type of castle, you know, and it's just
fortress.
Literally look like a fortress. You're right, Sean. And then it's got such sadness, you know, it does have the tragedies and, of the sickness from, yeah. So yeah, Waverly Hills, I would definitely recommend that place. We weren't disappointed. That's for sure. You know,
I think places like that are amazing. There's so many like it on the East Coast. I can't even remember all their names, but
yeah.
Just places like that, I think, are awesome. And I know there's more on the East Coast too. But yeah, I think there's just so many old homes. You know, California is a newer place. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of like Native American burial grounds, you know, pioneering stuff. But I think just the East Coast, the way that, you know, you have the old homes or, you know, those old institutions from just a time when they did things that they shouldn't. I think it's just really amazing to see those still standing.
No doubt. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a long list of places we want to check. I think pretty much all over, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no place we don't want to go.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you about your radio show. So, at the end of the guest chat, we'll have you plug your show and everything. But as far as like, what do you enjoy the best? What, you know, we've been on a couple shows, and then we talk, you know, about it, with each other, you know, as far as what do we get out of doing this podcast? Other than, you know, meeting people and kind of that was maybe in similar situations you were growing up, what other things do you like about being a host of a radio show?
Well, I mean, I know it's a show on the paranormal, but I really like things that, you know, can make people happy, you know, whether it's, you know, making someone not feel alone if they're living in a haunted house and knowing that other people have had these experiences, or just, you know, having an interest in the field and, you know, being able to feel like relief of, you know, mm-hmm. hey, there's other people out there like me, or, you know, just funny stories from the paranormal, or things you don't hear of. I think making something that people enjoy, it's really big for me, and just, you know, knowing that people actually like something I'm doing it's a great feeling.
That's awesome.
Oh, I was going to say,
it is. It leads me into something I wanted to. The first thing I wanted to tell you is, listen, I'm just trying to take it all in, and I write a couple notes of what I'm thinking while you're talking, Sophia. And mm-hmm. I think about, like, I've been called a sensitive too in my life. I've not had the same experiences as you. I've had some other ones. But, you know, having that sensitivity has helped me in my life, especially I'm a therapist. And so when I work with people will call me, sometimes they'll call me the patient whisperer or the staff whisperer. You know, I know the right thing to say. And like, how did you change the, you know, dynamic or the feeling in the room? And sometimes I don't know exactly. It's just kind of something that I'm into. And if you really stand back, you can actually kind of feel the vibes. And I feel personally that the veil is very thin. So when you're interacting or kind of trying to contact the other side, you just have to be open to it. Now I still don't fully understand or fully, you know, have all the answers, but I feel that I understand more than I used to, you know, when I was a kid, and I really had a lot of questions. So I'm fascinated to hear. I wrote down a couple of things about you. Old soul, sensitive, good. When you're talking about making people happy and enjoying that, it's like, you're a good soul, you know, and I think that's awesome. So you're putting you're putting out light, you know, in this sometimes dark world. So I thank you. but I want to know what are your thoughts on the other side? What are your thoughts of what's over on the veil? I'm fascinated to hear, you know, kind of your own personal feelings or your own personal beliefs.
Yeah. So I actually came up with a theory of what the afterlife is when I was in religion class. I actually went to Catholic school from kindergarten to eighth grade. And I was in eighth grade religion class, and we were talking about purgatory. And it really got me thinking, you know, you don't really see ghosts from the 1200s or the times when the Egyptians were around or the Neanderthals. You don't see ghosts from back then. You don't hear them. Maybe they just have no reason to try and talk to anyone. But I feel like maybe at a certain point, these ghosts disappear because it does seem to be that you don't have ghosts from all different time periods. It does kind of stop or slow down at a certain point. So I started thinking, you know, maybe these ghosts are kind of in limbo until, you know, they go wherever it is, they go from there. But I think ghosts not being as ancient as they could possibly be shows that there has to be something beyond just the ghosts out there.
I don't think I've ever had that thought before, and I think that is amazing.
I agree.
I'm a little floored by that.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting.
It is.
And I like the Catholic background too, because that always puts an interesting, you know, feel to it too.
Thank you. Yeah. I had an interesting education. I mean, yeah. Eighth grade, and then in high school, I took law and forensics. So it was just all kind of revolved around the paranormal without actually revolving around the paranormal.
So we're talking to a 23-year-old, and it's hard to believe that because you've done so
very
much.
Mature.
Yeah, very mature. And I'm like, wow, I am a slacker. Again, it seems like every guest we have confirms I'm a slacker. But
you're mature, and I feel not mature.
Yeah.
I feel immature.
Gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. I'm like, wow. I mean, I know I'm new to this, but holy cow, I don't think
thank you.
I knew we'd learn something. Sophia, that is awesome. We are truly blown away.
Come in.
Was that my phone?
Is that you?
No, actually it wasn't. Who knows? I got all kinds of alarms.
I thought that was just in my head.
That could be. Sophia, before we forget, why don't you tell our listeners, you know, how they can follow you on social media, if you want to, you know, promote your radio show and tell our listeners how they can find that and anything else you want to say before we sign off. The floor is yours.
Okay, for sure. So you can go to Facebook. You can find me, Sophia Zambrelli. You can also like the Ghost Host like page, Ghost Host Sophia Zambrelli. We post all the upcoming guests on there. You can check out some archived shows on iTunes Podcast, Spreaker. You can also see some filmed ones of certain guests on YouTube.com. We haven't posted any in a while because we're having some studio issues. Basically, there's no internet out there. And, you can find me on Twitter at Sophia Zambrelli. You can also go to at The Ghost Show Show, Instagram at Sophia Zambrelli. And listen to my show every Saturday on liveparanormal.com. My show is called The Ghost Host. It's from 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have some great guests. Upcoming, not ghosts, but maybe.
That'd even be cool.
Maybe both.
Maybe ghost guests.
That's what that doorbell was.
Yeah.
So, we have some great guests upcoming. You can see the list of them on Facebook. We have the Ghost Brothers from Travel Channel upcoming to promote. That'll be in July. I know Father's Day coming up, so we're taking a break for that weekend. But, yeah, we have some amazing guests. And check it out, liveparanormal.com or archived on iTunes Podcast and anywhere you can find.
Nice.
Podcast, like Speaker.
Awesome. And real quick, you said the Ghost Brothers. I don't know, Nate, Sean, do you know about those guys?
I don't think so.
Have you met them at all, or you talked to them before? Or I've listened to them a couple of times on other podcasts, and I know they're on the Travel Channel, and those guys are hilarious. So when you said that, I just smiled like, oh my gosh, that'd be awesome. We love to have them, or I would. I'd have to tell Nate and Sean about them, but they would be awesome to talk to because they're just hilarious.
Yeah, I had them on maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, I think, when the Ghost Brothers came out. I've been really fortunate just through the years, you know, meeting people at events and just having, you know, a bunch of, you know, Travel Channel guests on to hear about their upcoming shows. So this time around, it's Ghost Brothers. They'll be more in the future just from different people. Last weekend, we had on astrologer Jeff Harmon. He was a great guest. There's psychics come on, Travel Channel people like the Ghost Brothers. Just varies.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Sophia, we had a blast talking to you. We thank you so much for coming on. Promise you'll come on again in the future?
Absolutely. Anytime you would like me on, just let me know. I would love to come back.
Awesome. We think
no pressure.
Yeah, no, I mean, just throwing it out. No, no pressure, Sophia. But really, we would.
It's a promise and a threat, right?
That's right. Well, we had a blast talking to you. You're awesome. And tell your dad I said hello. I'll probably email him again in the future. But yeah, tell him I appreciate all his communication and getting this all set up. And we had a blast talking to you. And you have a good rest of the evening.
Well, thank you. You too, and I will let him know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you, Sophia.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a fun guest chat that was with Miss Sophia Temporelli.
That was awesome. She is an amazing person and a special soul.
Mm-hmm. I like her. We can keep her.
Nate's seal of approval.
Nate's approved.
All right. Stamp mark.
As you keep eating your pizza. she was fun. She's very accomplished at such a young age.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, think about it again. I know I've said it two or three times. She was 8
right.
when she started investigating and 12 when she started talking into a microphone. I was 49.
I know that. And I kept thinking
when
my
I
girls,
both. Yeah.
Ella's 8, Claire's 12. Yeah. And so I keep thinking like, it's amazing to me.
Yeah,
it
that'd
really
be
is.
Elijah be another year and he'd be, mm-hmm. that's when he would start a, no, he's not doing a radio show.
Yeah, anyway, right? That's impressive.
You got to be mature too. I mean, not just, yeah, it's.
Talk about finding your passion
I guess,
early.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now, I will say, listening to her story growing up in that haunted house and how she was pretty much like Nate's stalked.
Stalked, right?
Yeah, if that didn't push you into, like, either it pushed you the farthest away from all this or it would push you towards it more. And I kind of like how she gravitated, like, you know what? I'm going to own this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that, you know. I mean, obviously, as she said, it affects her.
She gained strength from it, yeah.
But yeah, but she's turning into a positive for her own life and then mm-hmm. kind of wrestling with it and understanding it and investigating and seeing what's going on with this.
It's cool.
Yeah. So kudos to her. And yeah, Sophia, thank you so much again for coming on our show. And I know the creepies will love listening to the guest chat. So so I have a little segment sponsorship to announce. This is sponsoring Sean's Middle-Aged Dark Side.
Yay.
So yeah, so we have a segment sponsor for that. This comes courtesy of Rodney Hetler. Now he is
Hey Rodney.
He is the owner of, in my opinion, the best auto detail shop called Clean Sensation Auto Detail. Rodney has been in business for over 19 years, so he definitely has experience. His shop is located at 6233 West County Road 600 South in Coatesville, Indiana, mm-hmm. just west of us. You can reach him on his phone number, which is 317-371-3185. He and his crew do an absolute phenomenal job with cars, trucks, boats, and whatever else has wheels. And I will tell you, my wife and I have had him clean the interior and exterior of many of our vehicles, probably the last 3 or 4 years, and we've never been disappointed.
Yeah.
And his prices are very reasonable. Like, they're awesome. And what's funny is we always think, how is he making a living?
Yeah, right.
For the quality he does.
Right.
Right. But no, it's like it seems unfair to him. But aside from the interior and exterior detailing, he also does window tint and ceramic coating.
Very cool.
Yeah. So give Rodney a call today and get that dirty vehicle of yours some new life. Check out his Instagram and his Facebook. You can just search Clean Sensation Auto Detail and his website, which is cleansensationalautodetail.com. He posts before and after pics, and seriously, you'll be truly amazed because he'll post pictures on Facebook, and you're like, there's no way anybody can even clean that. And there'll be gravel, dirt,
mm-hmm.
you know, food. I mean, we're talking nasty conditions. Like, these people haven't cleaned their car in 2 decades. And he posts an after.
It looks like a brand new car.
Brand new. Yeah, it's amazing. He'll look, yeah, it's. And that's not exaggerating.
No. Well, you brought your car that has been detailed by him, and
yeah.
you showed us. You're like, look at this. And it doesn't look real.
No. So what he does...
That's how awesome it is.
Yeah. And he's done when I have my Firebird, he's done our Hondas. I always, every spring, we have him do the interior, and then mm-hmm. after that, then I take over and I keep up with our cars. And then he just did my exterior today, the mm-hmm. detail. I mean, if we're talking the rims, the wheels, the waxes, puts the... I mean, just the big time shine, as I like to call it.
The big time shine.
You know, windows inside and out, and it literally looks like it just came off the showroom. Now my car is newer, but still, like, he gets cars.
Makes you feel good.
You're 30
too,
years old,
right?
And you're like, eh, there's no way. And
you, when you look good, you feel good, right?
That's
especially
right.
On the road.
So treat
yourself.
Treat
right.
yourself. Treat that's your right. car. How mm-hmm. about that? Yeah.
We talk about mental health. That is part of it, right?
Yeah. And Rodney is a mental health advocate as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be perfect for him to sponsor, and he agreed to be a segment sponsor. So we thank Rodney.
And I think it would be good is when you do go see him, you go see Rodney, you tell him that you heard us or heard about us or heard about him on, well, boy, I kind of messed that up, didn't I?
Start over, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So when you go see Rodney, you tell him that you heard about him on Middle Age and Creeped Out. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, I got it that time.
Yeah.
So it took 52 takes, right?
That's fine. That's
Nate, edit that.
Yeah. So again, 317-371-3185. His name is Rodney. He is the owner operator. And it is Clean Sensation Auto Detail. So there you go.
Awesome.
Now, Sean.
Oh, after much ado,
turn.
Right?
Yeah.
So now this is going to be for Rodney, and this is also going to be for Sophia. I picked this. I don't, you know, Todd was asking me earlier, like, oh, what are you thinking? And I'm like, I never know. I had actually several things picked out. Could have done a middle-aged moment or a middle-aged dark side. And we're going to go middle-aged dark side. So the mad, right?
The mad, yeah.
I'm going Radiohead. So, and I think Sophia is going to definitely appreciate this. This resonates with me. This song, every time it comes on, and it came on in the last couple of days. That's why I had it as part of one of my things to consider for middle-aged dark side. So now after talking to Sophia, I feel like this is exactly what I wanted to use. So Radiohead, Creep. And it is, and I'm going to have to, I'm preface this with, I'm going to have to bleep out a little bit, just a little, as you guys probably know. So when you were here before, couldn't look you in the eyes. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so blankin' special, or effin' special, however you want to say it. But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't care if it hurts. I want to have control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice when I'm not around. You're so effin' special. I wish I were special. But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. She's running out the door. Run. She's running out. She run, run, run. I'm sorry. I try not to sing these. Whatever makes you happy, whatever you want, you're so, I'm going to say again, blank and special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong here. So when I hear that song, and I hear that's from my childhood, obviously, but you know, it resonates because sometimes you just, I've said it before, stranger in a strange land, you feel alone in a planet, on a planet of 8 billion people, you know what I mean? And you're one of them. And some days you feel very connected, but this song really kind of puts it out there. Now, Sophia talked about, you know, being different, being weird, feeling weird. And it's like, but we celebrate that. Like, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been able to find her niche, you know, niche or whatever in this life and be able to make it into a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, an imaginative, creative thing. And a lot like what we do here, you know, and it's sometimes we forget, you know, and I'm sure she probably does too, like how much good she's putting out there and how much light she's putting out there. Mm-hmm. So using that darkness, it actually is a really light thing. So being a weirdo, feeling disconnected, feeling like you want to keep up with everybody, like the song says, you know, you just, it's, we're more special than we realize. So mm-hmm. I like to turn this song on its head and think, but, and it's also just, it's a fun song to rock out to when you're in the car.
I think some darkness while you're reading that wafted over through that way.
That's
it. Certainly did. your dog's trying
little,
to kill me every week. Trying to kill me. But like Sophia said, that you know she likes doing her radio show because she can
make people happy.
Make people happy. Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. But like you know, she got into it to meet other people that
right.
had experiences, so they can kind of
so you don't
know.
Feel so disconnected. Don't feel
yeah,
because like
everybody
such a weirdo.
Sometimes they feel like they're alone, or they're like, am I really? You know, experiencing this and mm-hmm. how are people going to take it, or how are they going to respond? And so she gives it a voice.
One thing that
other people, you know,
I've learned in this podcast is it's okay to fly your freak flag, you know, and we fly ours every once in a while. Right. And we've had people on this have said that too. I believe the Grim Dark Diary girls, right? Say that all the time. They say
they're
kind of the poster girls.
For
that. Right. Yeah.
They're the geek owls.
So, I put Sophia yeah. in all that. Like,
yeah, that was a good choice.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, that was good. Yeah. So what else you got?
Now, I've got the second part of the announcements, which is to be able to follow us on all our social media, which is Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can get us on our email address, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. We've got the Tuesday Tears, which we're doing every Tuesday. Those are videos, obviously, of us being able to connect with you. We are also on all listening platforms, and you can give us a 5-star rating and review if you like our show. And definitely word of mouth will help as well. So if you like us, tell all the people you know. We have merch for sale, logos of our stuff on anything you can imagine. And we also offer segment sponsorships, which we had tonight.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean, once again, for those wonderful announcements.
My pleasure.
No
problem.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nate, help us out, man.
When a ghost wraps its arms around you, you know what that's called? Mm-mm. That's a wrap.
Oh. Yes.
Yep. You'll be here all night, folks.
Don't forget to tip your waitress. I like it. Thank you, Nate, for that. We needed a wrap, right? If the listeners only knew. Yeah, exactly. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to episode number 68, and it was our fun guest chat with Miss Sophia Temporelli. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.